I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 65 as we look at this great harvest psalm together this morning. Having grown up on a farm and been an engineer, I'm sure it's no surprise to you that I have a keen interest in farm machinery. But year on year, there seems to be great advances in technology, and year on year, everything gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So that means there's actually fewer people sowing the seed and plowing the fields and scattering the good seed in the land, as we were singing earlier. In a world of high-volume production, in a world of supermarket convenience, many people tend to forget that the land is fed and watered by God Almighty, as we were singing earlier there. He is the source of all that we have. Secular society claims that there's no need for God anymore. They look to technology and science and think that God is a thing of the past. They think about diseases that were once incurable now being able to be cured easily. They think about once impossible manufacturing tasks now easily done by robots or high-volume production techniques. Outputs and yields are higher than ever before. And although we can appreciate the many benefits of these and these advances, it's a tragedy when society thinks that they can just forget about God, that they can replace God with some of these things. As we look at this psalm today, as a church, hopefully we will rightly keep focused on God's abundant provision, because he is the one who provides for us. He is the ultimate source of all things. There's nothing that takes place outside of his control. And so he's fully deserving of our praise on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday. This is a psalm of David, as it says in the opening there. And it's one that's meant to be sung. It's a song. In the opening line, he says, "Praise awaits you, O God in Zion." Right at the start, David's making clear that this is addressed to the one true and living God, the God over all. He's the one who reigns in Zion, where the temple was. That's where his presence was known by the people of Israel. But there's a sense here, as he talks about this awaiting on God, there's a sense that he's silent before God. He's praising God by waiting on him first. And this is a praise that comes out of silent reflection on who God is and what he has done. Then when he sings this song, thanksgiving is on his heart for a fruitful harvest. Verses 9 to 13 are wonderful verses. Paints a picture of this great abundance of all that God has given. Overflowing of grain, fields filled with flocks. It's a truly a joyful celebration, isn't it, of all that's described here. And as I was preparing this, I wanted to just jump straight to that section and talk about that and that wonderful harvest. But David has included so much before, which sets our attitude and heart for coming to praise God for that. Because David here praises God for his grace and his greatness before coming to his goodness in this last section. So we're going to look at these this morning. But we're not here only to thank God for the material blessings, but also the spiritual blessings which are found in Christ. So in verses 1 to 4, we need to praise God for his grace. This week there was a large survey which produced its results. It was called the State of Theology. And in that survey, they gave a number of statements to a large number of people, asking them whether they agreed or disagreed with certain statements. One of them was this: everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. I wonder, do you agree or disagree with that statement? Well, from that survey, 52% of people who regularly go to church agreed with it. They thought they were basically good people by nature. But that's a lot of people who haven't understood their sin and the seriousness of it. And that is vital for us to grasp here today, because sin must be dealt with before we can come into God's holy presence and praise him and thank him. There must be genuinely that heart change before we can do that. And we see that here, as David describes this public worship in the temple. They're gathered together. There is praise. There's vows made. Prayers are heard. And they recognize the blessings of God and his presence. But at the heart of this, at the heart of this gathering to worship, is the awareness of sin and the forgiveness of it. Look at verse 3. David says he was overwhelmed with his transgressions. He was able to look back at how he and others in Israel had broken God's law. The law showed them their sin because they knew they couldn't live out the law perfectly. They kept failing. And God made clear that there were consequences when you broke that law, when they broke the covenant that was made between him and his people. But as well as those consequences, David knew that he couldn't deal with that sin by himself. It's like someone lying on an operating table waiting for a heart transplant. They can't do that operation themselves. They need someone else to do it for them. And so David relies on God's provision here to deal with his sin. See, this is an act of God's grace here that he's talking about. Because it is only God who can forgive sin. It's only God who can atone for it, as that can be described here as well. See, as God's chosen people, Israel, gathered in that temple to worship, they could only do so because they offered up these sacrifices to God to make them right with him. God then heard their prayer. They could lift up their voices in praise, and it was acceptable to him. And David could rightly come into his presence and sing praises to God because his sins were graciously and wonderfully dealt with. But what about us here this morning? We join, yes, to worship God, but we're not meeting in a temple. This is no special building. We are not the nation of Israel under King David at that time. So how can we possibly praise God in the same way as he can? Well, whether we think we've sinned a little or sinned a whole lot, none of us are fit to come into God's presence. None of us can come as we are. And that is a serious concern, or at least it should be, if your sins haven't been dealt with. Because as well as being cut off from God because of our sin, it also brings about a punishment, consequences. Because we can't go on in rebellion against a perfect and holy God. Our sins must be dealt with. But thankfully, they were dealt with. They were atoned for on the cross at Calvary as Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the perfect Son of God, bore our sin, suffered in our place as he died on that cross. He was the only one who walked on this earth who never sinned. He was the only one who could deal with sin. And that's what he did as he hung there. That is where God showed the marvelous extent of his grace to us. Undeserving people being forgiven for their sin. See, God did not only allow David and his chosen people in Zion, as it talks about, to come into his presence, but he graciously allowed and chose people like us here in Drumrea this morning to come into his presence, to come into his eternal presence. And what a privilege that is. Surely that's something we're to be thankful for this morning. When we know our sins have been forgiven through Jesus and we live in him and by faith in him and trusting in him alone, we know that we can truly worship him because of that. We can talk with him in prayer. We can know his presence with us, not only as we meet together here, but daily in our lives. We can experience that great satisfaction that is found in knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. Wonder, do you know that for yourself today? Like David, we have come with harvest thanksgiving in mind today. But for us to rightly come and give thanks to God, to sincerely do that, we need to realize it is only by his grace that that can be done. It's only because our sin has been dealt with in Jesus that we can rightly come before him in worship today. But I wonder, have you come to that point where you have been overwhelmed by your sin, as David talks about here? Realizing that you're not right before God, that you can't stand before him, you can't give him the praise that he deserves, because you are not right before him. But praise God today for his grace, because he can take sinners like us and make us right before him through Christ. I wonder this harvest season, have you recognized that? Are you truly thankful for God's grace in your life as he has forgiven you in Christ Jesus? Well, secondly then, in verses 5 to 8, David sees a need to praise God for his greatness. Praise God for his greatness. If we look at the world around us, people are putting their hope in many things, aren't they? Many things other than God. That maybe is technology and science. Maybe they're hoping for some great cure to eradicate these awful diseases like cancer or dementia. Maybe it's in a time of political instability, people are hoping, if only Stormont could get up and running again, then that would bring about some resolutions. Or putting their hope in an ideal Brexit that will bring about prosperity for everyone. Or maybe in parts of the world where there's drought and famine and hunger and need, people are hoping for aid, a great supply of aid to come. People are putting their hope in things, many things which are great in themselves, but they will not provide that great abundant life. So often praise is directed to great people or to great ideas, but not to a great God. Cures may come, but so will other diseases. Political agreements may be made, but it won't guarantee stability. Aid may come, but it will not last. See, in verse 5, David shows that he has a certain hope because he knows abundant blessing is not found in anything else but only in God. He's assured of that because he knows that in his life already because God has answered prayers. And David personally knows this greatness. He's not only the great hope that he has, but he's the hope for all people in all time, not confined just to a certain period in Israel, but for all people in all nations. God is not confined by borders or people groups or ethnicities, but he is known as far as the eye can see and beyond. And as David keeps in mind this abundant harvest, he praises God for his greatness, most of all shown in creation. And it's vital that we know God as creator, isn't it? Because if we lose sight of that, we lose sight of who God actually is. If we don't see that God is the powerful creator, then what is he? Who are we worshiping today? You see, people try to replace God with different things. They try to achieve the standard of God. They try to reach God by maybe building certain big skyscrapers and tall buildings, thinking they are the pinnacle of success. The world's tallest building in Dubai is 2,700 feet high. Quite an achievement. But Mount Everest is 29,000 feet high. When we look at the size of the world's biggest mountains, they are so vast. But David says in verse 6 that God, by his strength and his power, has formed the mountains. And in Genesis, it tells us that he did that with a word. He spoke and created. Surely this shows us the might and the power and the greatness of God. If he can do that, he can do anything. David also speaks in verse 7 about the roaring waves and the seas, and we've recently seen the effects of that in Indonesia. Huge, powerful waves. But yet David knows God is able to still them, to calm them. His power is so great that it can form mountains and it can still raging storms. Even nations here who rise up in rebellion are nothing to God. They are nothing compared to what he can do. And so this gives David confidence as he comes before this great God, as he thinks about the harvest. He knows that his creator will provide. But Jesus, the Son of God, also showed his power over creation, didn't he? Many times. Remember that one time when the disciples were out in the boat and the storm came up and it was crashing over the sides of the small vessel. They were afraid. They feared. But when Jesus spoke, all was calm. And Jesus said to them at that time, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" David makes clear in verse 8 that when people are far from God and they see his power and when they recognize that, they will fear his wonders. But we don't need to fear today. We don't need to be afraid because we can actually join with people all across the world in joy and wonder at what God has done. Because when our lives are transformed by Christ and by his grace, we have a certain hope that we can come before this great and powerful God without fear and without trembling because we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have nothing to fear in life or in death. I wonder, can you come before him in such confidence this morning? Are you praising the great God, our Creator God. Finally, then in verse 9 to 13, we praise God for his goodness. We love to talk about the weather in Northern Ireland, don't we? It's usually high up on conversation starters. This past summer has been a really good one. Most people enjoyed the sunshine, I think. But as weather continued like that, as it got warmer and hotter and the ground got drier and harder, and so out came the sprinklers. But then came the hosepipe ban because we were using too much water. So the gardens started to dry up. The grass went brown. And farmers who usually complained about too much water were now complaining it was too dry. They were looking for the rain to come. But you could imagine what it would have been like if that continued, that dry spell continued for so much longer. Crops would have weathered away, the grass would have burned up, the soil would be so hard you couldn't work it. And this is the scene of the land here in Judea before God visited the earth and watered it, as it says in verse 9. The ridges were hard, the furrows were unworkable, there was little in the fields, there was hardly any animals or livestock. But oh, how that changes. When the right amount of water comes at the right time, it changes everything. And what a transformation is described here. What a picture God is giving here of how he has enriched the land and made it fruitful and abundant. But notice how David's focus is completely on God here. Look at the number of times he says, you, as he sings this psalm to God. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. You provide their grain. You have prepared it. You water the furrow, settle its ridges, soften its showers, bless its growth. You crown the year with bounty. David praises God for his goodness in providing all that is needed in an abundant harvest. He's not saying that the farmer has nothing to do or the farmer doesn't have his part to play in it. Of course, we're thankful for farmers and all that they do to work the fields. But if conditions aren't right for the farmer to work, if the soil is not right in the time of planting, well, then there's a problem. If they manage to get the seed planted and there's not enough rain or too much rain, if there's not enough heat or too much heat, well, then there's a problem. So much is outside of the control of the farmer. He's reliant on something else. He can't control how much the seed will grow or how abundant the harvest will be. He must recognize that that is out of his control. You see, it's God who enriches the land and provides the grain, as David says here. He says in verse 9, you have prepared it or ordained it, as the NIV says. God has been so good in this harvest. And David's able to recognize that goodness because he's already praised him for his grace and his greatness. He's recognized who God is and what he's done in his life. And because David has truly come to know God personally and know this great creator, he can then appreciate what God has done in his provision. He's able to see God's hand in the harvest right down to the very last detail. But I wonder, do you see God's hand at work in providing for you? Okay, we're not all farmers here. We're not out plowing the fields and harvesting the crops. But are you able to look at the many blessings in your life and realize that you only have it because God has made it possible? Because of his gracious provision. You may be very intelligent. You may be very skilled with your hands. But don't think that that is only because of yourself. See, God, our Creator, has made us in such a way that we can use these skills and use these means to go about his work. We can put them into practice. But as we do that, it's often too easy to forget about God. We focus on ourselves, especially when things are going well, whenever we have that abundant harvest. Whenever business is booming, whenever you have got that promotion at work, or whenever things are going well at school and you're getting the great grades. Do you realize that God is at work in each of those situations? That he is the one who provides it? David recognized that. He recognized God was at work and he praises God for his abundance. He talks about so much grain here that the carts were even overflowing. The places where it was dry and barren and there was no livestock were now filled with crops and filled with animals in the fields. There's an abundant supply of income and food. But David doesn't bring the focus to himself. He rightly uplifts God's name. He rightly praises him for this supply. He praises God alone for his goodness. And we come today to give thanks to God for his abundant provision. As we look around at the many things in the church, we can be truly thankful. But not only thankful for the material blessings, but also the spiritual. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is the one who makes it grow. See, it's God who does that great spiritual work in our life. But the seed has been sown this morning as we've heard about God's grace, as we've heard about our sinfulness and our need to be forgiven, for that to be made right before we can come before God. We've seen his greatness of our great creator God, the one who has made all things and is so powerful over raging seas and has formed mountains. We've no need to fear, but we can have hope before such a God if we are in Christ. But what is your response to that message this morning? Has it fallen on hard ridges of ground this morning, or has that been softened? That seed has been planted deep and it will grow and it will be fruitful and be nourished and transforming. My prayer for each one here today that we would truly receive God's word into our hearts and lives this morning. That it would go deep into our lives. That we would live by it and that we would see an overflowing of that in all that we do. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. Because when we are in Christ Jesus, we have an abundance that lasts for eternity. We have a joy which we can experience now, but an everlasting joy that is even greater than overflowing carts of grain, is even greater than anything you have experienced in this life. Surely we have much to be thankful to God for. Thankful for his provision in life and in death. And we give thanks for the Lord Jesus who has made that possible. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a great and a powerful and a wonderful God. You are the creator of all things. You hold all things together. There is nothing that happens in this world that is outside of your control. Lord, we rightly should fear coming before you because we are sinful people. We are overwhelmed by our sins when we compare ourselves to you. But Lord, we thank you that we can come before you in praise and thankfulness this morning because of the grace you have shown to us in Christ Jesus. Because through him our sins can be forgiven and we can have that right standing before you. We can have those transformed lives which enable us to rightly praise you for your goodness to us. And so on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord, we thank you for the many provisions that you have poured out in our lives. But Lord, help us to be thankful for that abundant provision in Christ, which lasts for eternity. Lord, may we go out from here this morning with thankful hearts, praising you, the great Lord of the harvest, and may we see many more souls brought into that personal saving relationship with Christ as we go out in faith and hope and trust that is certain for eternity. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.